if I'm going to be vulnerable for a minute, the imposter syndrome sometimes is coming out when an agent comes to me and says, you know, the house isn't selling. Here's the feedback. What should I do? How do I talk to the seller? I'm like, sometimes I want to say, I don't know.
Nobody in real estate is going to tell you the real stuff.
So we will.
We're going to talk about all the stuff that nobody posts about.
But everybody needs to hear.
We've been in this industry long enough to know what works.
And long enough to know what doesn't.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Mackenzie. And this is Real Talk, Real Agents.
If you're a real estate agent that is so tired of the fake it till you make it energy, this is your show.
We are two agents who are still in it every single day, and we are not coaching from the sidelines. We are in the trenches with you.
No filters and no fluff.
All right. Real Talk starts right now.
So it's interesting. I think what keeps coming up all the time, whether our agents are newer or maybe ourselves at times, I'm going to call myself out, is this concept of imposter syndrome. I mean, how often do you talk about it in small groups? Probably every single week, I imagine.
Every single week,
yeah.
Whether it's a listing appointment, thinking that they shouldn't be going on it, whether it's having a conversation with a seller, with a buyer, with anyone, right? Yeah. It's as the market's changing and we're all like in the wild, wild west right now.
Right. Trying to figure out how to navigate. Yes, houses aren't selling as fast as they used to. And so we've got some really great agents, but they may be asking themselves, what am I doing wrong? Or am I really a decent agent? Because maybe it was market dependent instead of my effort.
Well, and if I'm going to be vulnerable for a minute, the imposter syndrome sometimes is coming out when an agent comes to me and says, you know, the house isn't selling. Here's the feedback. What should I do? How do I talk to the seller? I'm like, sometimes I want to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I'm giving you the right advice or strategy. Mm-hmm. So that's been, you know, that's been hard. Or saying, you know, maybe try this, and they try something different and it works. And I don't know. So that's kind of where it's really, it is. It's just, it's so different right now. And the emotions of it all has been a lot for everybody.
Yeah. So where do you think, I guess, the basis for some of that? Is it fear? You know, I guess to the heart of it, like, where does the imposter syndrome come from?
You know, I don't know where it happened, but sometimes I feel like, well, not sometimes, a lot of times is we feel like we have to have all the answers.
Yeah.
When somebody asks us something, I literally just said to you, I feel imposter syndrome because I don't have the answers for our agents.
And it's scary to say, I don't know.
Well, right. And so I think immediately that imposter syndrome comes in because we don't know. Then, oh my gosh, we spiral. I shouldn't have taken this listing. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm not good enough. I haven't been in the business long enough. I don't know. I don't know. Right. And so I guess that's fear. Mm-hmm. And this whole idea that we have to know everything. And so for me, to navigate the market that we're in right now, it's not trying to come in on that appointment thinking
coming
that I,
hot.
Yeah, well, coming in hot, but that I know everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I want them to feel confident that I understand the market, or just lay out, here are the scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's path A, here's path B, and here's path C.
Yeah.
Any one of those, I think we'll get to the conclusion of buying or selling a house, but I don't know.
It's so interesting, though, to think about that, like almost wanting to flip the switch, the script or whatever on that. Is maybe it's the smartest thing to do is to say, I don't know sometimes. Like, it's almost societal,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we're all marching, like, I got all the answers. I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my little flag here and I'm going to die on every single hill associated with that. But gosh, I mean, there's almost something powerful of saying, like, I don't know, but we're going to figure this out together. Like, what I do know is my mm-hmm. skill set is we're going to listen, we're going to watch, we're going to learn, and we're going to react based on all that information.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yes. And I think on the, not the flip, but in addition to is that I think that other imposter part comes out because you're going to say that to a client and they're not going to like that, or a prospective client. They're going to want you to have all the answers.
A clear plan.
So then I'm sitting here listening to you going, you're right. And then if they're okay, not okay with that, then you know what? Then they're not meant to work with me. Because that's the other thing too, is we push sometimes so hard.
Yeah.
Into these.
But maybe there's a variation where both work. It's like, here's my experience, right? Mm-hmm. This is what history has shown me. And this is my best guesstimate of how this is going to go
sure.
based on all the data and experience and all that. But this is also what I'm telling you, mm-hmm. is that this is a market that we haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moving really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have to be nimble. We're going to have to think on our feet a little bit, maybe more so than we did before. So I'm not going to sit here and promise you, I'm not going to bullshit you that we're going to sell multiple offers first day. Mm-hmm. God bless if we did.
But, it's been a hot minute since that's happened for me, for the record.
Yeah, but here's the plan. You and I are going to talk, you know, mm-hmm. every 3 or 4 days. So we're really filling it together,
mm-hmm.
whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of interesting. The power almost in saying, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to overpromise you. I don't know 100% how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I have some good guesses.
Right.
But we're in this together.
Well, and trying to flip the mindset a little bit that, okay, imposter syndrome is not a new term. We've heard it for years, right?
Yeah.
We've heard people talking about it. We've all felt it. But I liked a different perspective on it was if we can say, okay, but it's not really imposter. We're just growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you that I've probably grown the most in real estate in the last 18 months than I did in my first 4 years in real estate.
Oh, girl, yes.
Because
I have felt more imposter syndrome personally.
Right.
Because as we've talked before, I was way overly confident when I first started and continue to be kind of in selling homes.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound terrible. This is not a rocket science job. Like the process of getting a home ready to sell and all of that,
mm-hmm.
certainly a process. There is skill to it. I'm not trying to downplay it, but we are not curing cancer.
Right.
You know, like we overcomplicate things sometimes.
Yes.
So there's confidence in that. I was like, I got this. Mm-hmm. Done that. Been there, done that. But I would like for us to talk about kind of like us getting out of our comfort zone this year of trying to really move into more of a leadership, kind of like full leadership of people, of growing a firm and growing a team. And that gets you all up in your feels of what's different.
Yes, it does. And then you've got a market that's like, I don't even
crazy
know.
Too,
crazy.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and we can pivot to that a little bit,
yeah.
right? The imposter syndrome of, you know, I think you and I are sitting in the moment right now of if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
And so now we're building it and now they're coming. And now we're like, oh shit.
Well, it's amazing, right? Like you invite people to come into a mastermind. You pray to God people come, first of all. You're like, please don't not be Mackenzie. And then people show up and then you're like, and then they're looking at you and you're like, oh shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess. All right. Well, here, you know,
let's see what brilliance I can talk about today.
Yeah. So there's definitely moments of like, am I ready for this? And then there's other things that kind of, I don't know. There's the excitement part of that too, is if you can kind of lean into that fear a little bit and realize that people are craving village, they're craving some type of leadership. I'm not saying we're the best, but what I will say is that we care passionately about it. And that's the foundation of all of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've had moments of looking up and going, okay, I guess we're doing this, you know, or are we qualified to do that? But I almost feel like that's the right way because we have followed leaders before that solidly said that they had all the answers and were painfully disappointed when they didn't. And so I'd much rather be vulnerable and say, we're working with you. We're figuring this out together
mm-hmm.
and we're all going to grow because of it. Cause I certainly don't have all the answers and I'm not going to lie and say that I do.
Well, and for me, it gives me a little bit of space to mess up. Right. Yeah. Because we haven't, I haven't come across that we have all the answers, or that my way is the right way and this is the only way to do it. So that has helped in this role, that has helped in the growth of the company to, yeah, I mean, you want to align with us? You know, I have to stop, you know, I don't say that loud to the person, but I was like, oh, okay. And then I immediately go into, what do I have to offer? What can I give them? What do they need? What they can get this from somewhere else? Why, you know, and then immediately start to discount, right? Mm. Or feel like I have to then do more than I've already been doing.
Right.
But what I was doing was enough to attract them to the village in the first place. So why do I have to do anything else?
So, I mean, that is such a real moment. I mean, that applies for all, it's probably every industry, but with real estate too, right? Like we get the appointment, we get the listing, and then immediately we start going, this is all the shit I'm going to do, and I'm going to do more, and I'm going to be amazing, and I'm going to kill myself trying to sell this house, you know? And you're like, oh my God, lady, take a deep breath. Like, they're not panicking yet. Like, your energy is making them panic. It's so funny. But I do hope that sharing, I don't know, you know, someone's day one to your 20 or whatever, we talk a lot about newer agents and the panic that they have. And I just hope they understand and realize that no matter what, if you're growing and you're trying to do something bigger, I think you're always going to have these moments of, oh shit, okay, now we're moving into a different phase.
Yeah. And to, you know, I guess put a little bow on this conversation about it. So we're sharing that we have it. We still have it. We'll continue to have it. So how can we, or what can we share with our listeners? By the way, thank you for listening. We appreciate you.
Like and subscribe.
Exactly. So what, you and I aren't stopping what we're doing. No. We're still feeling all of these feelings that we're sharing. We know you're confident. We know you're overconfident, as we shared in other, I'll just dig in deep and just do it, even though I'm scared shitless sort of thing. So, but for maybe the listener out there who isn't overconfident or who just won't put her blinders on, his or her blinders on, and just do it, you know, how can we help our community out there listening about that imposter syndrome?
So I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think it is creating an environment that doesn't laugh at people. It doesn't point people, make them feel bad about taking chances, maybe laughing with them a little bit.
We have to do that.
We have to keep it honest. But I think the moment that we start to feel fear, you project it on other people. So personal story. I've laughed. My daughter has been in, she's back now, but she's been in Italy for 2.5 weeks. And I thought to myself, at 22 years old, there's literally no, the fear that would have caused me to have would have been paralyzing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, before I left, I was leaving her alone. I said, I will buy you a ticket home. Are you ready to come back? I said, because you're getting ready to take a train from Rome to surrender. Like, she was having to do planes, trains, and automobiles by herself, doesn't know the language. And she looked at me and she goes, I got it. I'm good. And I thought, the confidence on this kid is like ridiculous. But I looked back and reflected, even though I have been scared for her at times, I have bit my tongue so many times because I wanted her to fail, push past the fear, and do those things. And now looking at the confidence that she has built over time through probably eating it a little bit, but I didn't hold her back, even though I wanted to. And you've done the same thing. You've got a kid that lives, goes to school 10 hours away. And as a mother, you want to go, do not do that. And my reality was different earlier because my family, they were so fearful. And so they held on so very tightly. And so I think we don't hold on to people tightly. You allow them to kind of do the thing. And, you know, and I don't know, I'm proud of myself for not holding on so tightly to her that I have put her in a box. And I hope we do the same with our agents. That's all. And I'm learning through all that too on how to be vulnerable and do the things.
I'm just taking a moment because that was, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. Yes. And I'm sitting there thinking, is there any way that I am holding the agents back? And because I so badly want them to succeed.
Right. We don't want them to fail.
We don't want them to fail.
It's coming from a place of love.
Right. However, where does that failure need to come into play? Because that's going to be on the other side. I think of an agent on our team who is just on the phones every single day, and he is getting his butt whipped. Mm-hmm. And he is showing up, and he is showing up, and he is showing up, and he is failing. And it's just, and he called me yesterday, and we were talking about something and said, well, I got to show this client this house, but then I've got to figure out how to show this client this house. And he stopped and reflected. He said, oh my God, it's pretty cool to say that I've got two clients I'm working with right now.
Right.
And just watching him not give up and watching the, because he has the imposter syndrome, because he calls and we talk about it and talk it through. And I've got you in my ear saying I can give him as much information as possible, but he also has to do it. Right. And so anyway, listening to you, just making sure there's that fine line of giving them the guidance, giving them the blueprint. Because the beautiful thing is whatever we give to them, they're going to create just a little bit of their own, and then they're going to get their own special sauce of what then helps them to convert at a higher level or whatever the case may be. You know, our job is the blueprint. Is the space, like you just said, to, it's okay.
It is okay
to make a mistake, and it's okay to not know. Like yesterday, our advice, I hate the word advice, but I guess our thoughts, opinion to an agent were very different. I don't know if you remember that yesterday after the team meeting. To the same agent, you know, about like what next steps. I'm not trying to call anybody out, but anybody listen, we only have two men on our team.
David or Charles.
Exactly. And I feel like, sorry, Charles. Yep. Talking about you, but I think you'd be okay with it. Don't you think? I hope.
So I'm just kidding. I did not realize that you and I were on different pages.
What I was getting ready to say, and then...
And then bossy pants rolled up.
That is not what I said. There was no bossy pants going on. I actually love it when you don't have as many opportunities to have conversations with the agents. And so I try to be very self-aware of that because I do want them to hear from you. They need to hear from other people, right? It just, you know what I mean? So
I'm physically not in the carry location.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just lends more of the side conversations. And, or if they have a market question about our market, right? They're not, you know, like the coastal agents aren't coming to me. Yeah, exactly. Don't call me about a beach house because I'm going to say, call Pam. And we're sitting there and I was listening to you talk to him and I was like, all right, me 3 years ago, that would have, I would have internalized that and thought about that for probably 48 hours.
Interesting.
And would have been like, oh my gosh, did if Pam wouldn't have been there and I would have given different advice or I would have done something, you know, said something differently. And my moment was, I listened to you and I was like, first of all, I was like, well, she can take it. I'm tired.
Valid.
And then I was like, all right. And I sat there and I completely just listened, right? I think I didn't say anything. And then I just talked it into my little thing. Like next time an agent has a similar situation or question, I just learned something. Or looked at something in a different way. And I haven't thought about it since until we talked about this right now.
I do remember. I mean, I remember the exchange.
Yeah. And it wasn't like grossly different, but it was just, I think maybe the presentation or not even the presentation. We didn't do it, but I think the delivery would have been different maybe.
So, I mean, we can, it's actually a really good question. I think for newer agents, he's working with a client that first time home buyer really wants to buy, but I sensed that there was some fear there. And I think when you're newer agents, like you're trying to find the right answer or solution without asking the right questions enough to really figure out what solution you're trying to figure out.
Well, and it goes back to the beginning that we feel like we have to have all the answers.
100%. It was actually full circle.
We yes. just full circled just all like, of that.
That was not the answers. The question was what, you know.
Right.
You got to get to the fear of what's going on there.
So then going back to really tie this up is, so as leaders, it's making sure we're asking really great questions to not give them the answers, right?
Yeah.
But to let them know that, so you don't know it all.
No.
And going back to comparing chapter one with chapter 10, you know, the agents will sometimes make comments, you know, well, you guys have done this, or you got on this many appointments, or you sold this many houses. But man, I used to be just, you know,
100%.
Be there and just trying to keep reminding them of that. Or if somebody comes up with a different price and we're doing listing strategy lately, it's just like somebody we were doing, I think it was two strategies or two of the trainings ago. They're like, what, you know, I try to not, they're so afraid to give me the number before I give them my number because they don't want to be wrong. it's like
role play. Exactly. Too, you know? It's like, why don't you guys go
I'm
first?
I'm like, no one's going to, nothing's going to happen. Exactly. I'm just like, what is your number? Because it's a confidence thing, right?
It is.
Yeah. But they are just still so scared to give the number before I do. So I gave my number first and it was drastically different than something. I could see it in their faces and I was like, well, no, what's your number? Yeah. And they're just like, you know, and so we talked about it and we came to, because there was a piece that I missed, or I was like, you know what, that's a really good point. So then I would say to the seller, let's meet in the middle of, I'm making up numbers, if it's 250 to 300, let's meet at 275.
Right.
And this is why. So I think it's good for them to have a different answer, a different number.
100%.
And but for me not
the way you're gonna learn.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for me not to be like, well, actually, no, it should be this because of this. Because in reality, going back to the market, I have no idea what the right number is.
275, 350.
You know, we'll figure it out. It's going to sell. We just don't know when or how, right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I think all of this is telling our listeners is you're probably always going to have it. It might come out and look differently.
If you're growing. Yeah.
Fair enough. Thank you. Great point. It might come manifest and come out in different ways. But if you can take that moment to watch something else, I think you can be pretty aware of it. And just, it's so worth to power through. Because you imagine if we didn't take the chance of going independent at the beginning of the year, how things.
That was a big move. And I think we both were like, are we ready? You know, do we really feel like we can provide something that's remarkably different? And I don't know, the longer we build, the more I feel very strongly that we do. And also, before I forget, we had a mastermind today, Brandy Niemerget. I just, some moments of pride there to watch where she was when she started versus where she is today. And she very much, I mean, it was a lot of talk around mindset, and it was around kind of imposter mm-hmm. syndrome too. She's built her business around YouTube. And to think about turning on a camera when you don't particularly love doing that work. And then my hair looks like shit today. I said that kind of crazy. And she's really battling through and has been that imposter syndrome to where she's created something remarkable.
Yes.
Remarkable.
Yeah. I was so thankful that she came and spoke.
Oh my God. It was great. It was really great to see.
Mm-hmm.
From a brand new agent just a few years ago to where she is today.
We would all aspire to have that business.
100%. That all way. About growth, all about being mm-hmm. uncomfortable and being okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So take it as a blessing. If you feel uncomfortable, you feel like you're a little bit of an imposter, you just got to keep mastering it before you're not an imposter of that. Then move on to the next topic where you'll feel like an imposter yet again. And you'll just keep growing. All right. I have a question for you.
All right.
You ever walked into a listing appointment, even though you've done it 100 times, and thought, do I know what I'm doing?
Our favorite segment.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get a weekly vibe check. So you're coming off vacation, by the way.
I was going to say, so my vibe check is a little bit, is a little different. Although I will say, like, I don't know. it's hard going on vacation for a lot of reasons, because we do have certain clients that expect us to be like, we have no other life besides real estate. And that is almost true most of the time. So I chose not to share right now my trip to Italy, because I've got some clients that, even though I was managing everything and I put one under contract and listed one while I was gone, that I just felt like it was poor timing because of that. So that was maybe a little bit of a weird spot for me, because my family's like, what the hell? She's not.
Even texted you. I was like, where are my pictures? Like,
what's going on? You live out there?
I was like, and then you texted them to me.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make sure I wasn't missing anything. I was ready to live vicariously through you.
Friendly.
Exactly.
So I don't know. Vacation was great. Do not get me wrong. But the balance, I think, of like trying to do it all. And I don't know.
Did you feel bad going on vacation?
No. I mean, I didn't feel bad. And again, I had a lovely time.
Guilty? I'm putting words in your mouth.
No, I think I was just really aware that, and this is okay, that certain clients and people that we have in our life, they don't have the ability in their current mental condition to handle someone else's thing. And I felt okay in the moment going, who gives a shit? I'm on vacation anyway. I don't live for Facebook anyway. So I'm just going to enjoy my life. But then I realized when I get back, people are like, I want to see pictures. And I'm like, it was kind of weird to go somewhere and not share. Right. So I also want to live authentically and realize that, you know, I do want to share personal parts about my life too. So I don't know. It's just it was a little bit of a weird dynamic.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, that's all. Just trying to be real.
Yeah. And I think you and I finally spoke after being gone. So my weekly vibe check was heavy.
She had a week.
Because you went on a vacation.
No, I think this was independent of me being gone. There were a couple things that, you know, it's obviously you were taking a lot of energy.
Yeah.
That was a thing I noticed the difference when we talked. Like, I was in like a moment of a little zen just because I was like super reflective, which you probably picked up on.
Yep.
Trying to be aware of things around me when I'm on vacation. So I was like really calm and reserved, and Mackenzie's like, this should happen. And let me tell you about this.
Because I had to bottle it up for the 12 days that you were gone. I talked to you every other day, if not every day. And I'm like, I'm not going to bother Pam with this BS. And I was just like, and you said, I have time at 12 o'clock on Monday. I'm like, well, I'm getting my hour.
It was just, it was just.
Welcome to reentry, Pamela.
I was like, maybe, can I have Tuesday too?
Nope, you cannot. I gave you 12 days. I did not bother you. I was a big girl. And I took care of all the problems.
At all.
It was just, you know, yes, it's, I don't know. It's, I have been reflective on watching other people and how they are handling situations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because I am trying, going back to what we talked about is, you know, not giving them all the answers, not having all the answers, but just sitting back and doing nothing and just watching a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then, I don't know. Yeah. It was a heavy week.
Yeah.
And just really trying to, I don't know. We talk about manage people's expectations, but man, I don't know.
Well, I think we're going to do another topic around emotional intelligence in a couple of weeks, too. And I think, I don't know, I was talking to Deborah behind the camera before we started, and everything feels a little heavy right now. I don't know. It's just, it's universe. It's, you know, it's gas prices are high and
it's 108 degrees.
It's 1,000 degrees outside with 1,000% humidity. And yeah, it's just a combination of a lot. And we've had some really challenging deals. And honestly speaking, we've had some really challenging clients here recently.
We have.
And I mean, blessed in all accounts to be able to handle it. But sometimes things are just not smooth and easy and cheerful. And so we've been in a little bit of that for a few weeks now.
We have. So I have decided that because people are peopling right now, mm-hmm. I am going into this. I'm trying to, I guess efficiency is my word right now. Yes. I'm trying to
control the controllables, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So like, how can I, because I can't control
crazy
all yeah. this over here. So how can I control some other things to, so if I'm working on this, but I still want these systems to help for our agents, mm-hmm. I have kind of jumped on this whole bandwagon of Claude.
So, and I'm super intrigued by it because obviously you hear and see people using it. So mm-hmm. I'm very intrigued to kind of dig down.
Because I started with ChatGPT because we're, you know, you hear, you know, AI is not going to replace agents. It's just going to replace the agent who won't use it, right? I think that's been the motto yeah. for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years. I don't know. And so I was like, all right, I can learn something new. Exactly. I'll just, you know, and I was started with, you know, help me rewrite this email so it sounds professional yet stern or whatever. And then it's yeah. whatever, our listing remarks. But now it's the efficiency and it's mm-hmm. Not can I do more, like, because I think you can get into that trap too. Like, well, yeah. if he can create all of this, but it's just like something for our team meeting. You know, our mindset was on the New York Knicks. They just won, you know, the NBA championship. And it's like, how can, there's always so many analogies between sports and between sales. And what can we learn from them coming 29 points,
yeah.
you know, behind and not giving up mm-hmm. and asking Claude, you know, giving them you can tell it, how your team runs and the community and the vibe and all that. And just, it's just fascinating that what would have taken me, I don't even know how long, but create a very systematic process, I guess, blueprint. I keep using that word that just spit it out this amazing.
So how is Chat and Claude different?
So I feel like Chat is my therapist mm-hmm. and Chat tells me what I want to hear. Which is okay. so weird because the right. more you use it, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I'm a very touchy feely yeah. person, you know. Claude is more. It's been more. How do you want this to work better, and how can I integrate into what system do you want to work into? I think I don't know.
And you've been working on an integration really with Claude
and Notion, correct? And Notion. So, you know, we talked about that we have a team, Capital Coast team, and we also are a brokerage as well. And so we have independent agents joining our brokerage. Mm-hmm. So I want it to be very, one of the reasons why we didn't know if we wanted to do is because time is our, I don't know, I only have so much time in the mm-hmm. day, right? So we want to make sure that independent agents who join our team have the systems and the processes. So Claude has helped me figure out a way, helped me in a much quicker way, figure out how to create this own community, the mm-hmm. side community that coincides with, and so I'm not doubling up my work. So I was like, here's what I'm creating for the team. Now, how can I do this on the independent side? And bam. And the other day, Claude's like, well, if you would just give me the access to Notion, I can completely go in there and integrate it. And I was like, sorry, Claude, I haven't talked to Pamela yet about going into Notion.
That's wild, though. I mean, it's cool.
But literally, the co-working space, and it knows Notion's like, you can like, again, I am not a tech person. This is just me trying to not be left completely behind in the world. There's a way to integrate the two. So the tool that I'm really working on is, so this is running next to me. Mm-hmm. A process, and I'm still can't have those heavy conversations with an agent.
Yeah.
So it's not, so I'm being more efficient. So at the end of the day, I had Claude create, I said, this is my idea for the mindset piece of our team meeting. What can you come up with? It spit it out as I'm on the phone helping an agent negotiate a due diligence prayer awesome. Request.
Yeah.
And I left my phone on. So sorry. My goodness.
This is real life.
Exactly. So that's kind of what I'm, because I want a little bit more time back in the day.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to lie.
Literally, there's not enough hours to do all the things. And then you can feel torn, right?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to like become an AI expert. It's just that we'll never be, you know who I am. But because I've been able to share it with some of the other agents. And they're just like, Mackenzie, this is so much more efficient. Yeah. And so they're using in their business to be more efficient. Because one of our things is talking about leverage. I'm using Claude as leverage.
Awesome.
So can I integrate it with Notion?
Oh, of course. If it's going to create some efficiencies and make life easier, mm-hmm. then yeah. I don't think there's anything sensitive in there that I would worry about.
No. Well, I just don't want to break it. You know me. I can break a spreadsheet.
Okay,
thank you.
So maybe Claude is the answer.
Exactly. The good news is Claude can undo whatever it does, I think, too. So
or he just does it.
You know? Exactly. So any tools for you? And it's okay if you don't, since you were on vacay.
I was on vacay, so it was not really tool mode, other than just it is amazing that you can be hours and hours away and no one really has to know.
Nope. And that's why you're on a team.
True.
Because you have people behind you to be able to do 100%. All that stuff for you.
I mean, it was so smooth. It mm-hmm. just, yeah, it was perfect. Awesome. Literally.
All right, Pamela, this is our Real Talk Rapid Fire. I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to answer just however it comes to your mind.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
I do. Yes. Okay.
Does imposter syndrome ever go away?
No. Well, I take that back. Again, if you're not growing, if you just love status quo, then sure. I mean, I don't know. I think of a few people in my life that are just, you know, they're happy and content and they're not looking to do wild, crazy things. So mm-hmm. they probably don't suffer with it as much.
Okay.
But I think, yeah.
I like it. What's the fastest way to shake it in the moment?
I will say when I first started in pharmaceutical sales, somebody told me, take a deep breath, pause before you speak to settle your voice. And when I first started at 24 years old, calling on, you know, medical doctors, that I was definitely that was one thing that just really helped me. So in the moment, whether you're doing video, just take a deep breath. No one notices.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, love this question. I cannot wait.
Oh no!
To what your answer is.
Oh no!
No, it's good. No, it's good because yeah, it's good. What's the difference between imposter syndrome and actually needing more training?
Huh. So I think imposter syndrome is like an emotion. It's how you feel. It's your confidence piece. Education, for the most part, that part is also derived through experience, right? Mm-hmm. And just doing the damn thing. Education is something you could pick up a book, learn from someone else. It's two totally different things in my opinion.
No, it's great. Last question. What do you say to an agent who's been in the business 10 years and still feels like a fraud?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I know. That's why I left it to the end.
Yeah, no, I like everything in life, I say, I think you've just got to ask really great questions. Like, I think it's almost like a little therapy session. Like, truly, what is holding them back? What is the fear? Because you have experience at that point, right? So you should have confidence. So if you're still experiencing some imposter syndrome, I think you got to do a little deep dive on what is holding you back. What's worst case scenario? Like, why don't you just try it?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not nearly as scary as you think it's going to be. And then you have that experience to lean back on. You've probably done many, many things that were scary before and you're still standing. The earth is still spinning. But yeah, I probably would just honestly sit and try to have a real conversation with them. There's a fear there that needs to be unlocked.
Mm-hmm. And Pamela is very good at unlocking those things, FYI, if you would like a separate session with her.
I missed my calling, apparently.
You 100% missed your calling. All right, Pam, we're going to close this one out on imposter syndrome.
Yep.
So for those who stayed with us the entire time, thank you so much. Don't forget to like or subscribe if you already forgot the first time. What's the one thing that you want our listeners to walk away with this week?
I think just think about the fear in your life. Just like face it head on. There's something holding you back. I don't know what it is or why that is, but sit in silence. Think about it for a little bit. Maybe journal. The one thing I'll say, the blessing for me is going on vacation. It purposely makes you slow down and be really self-aware of who you are, what's going on around you. And so that to me is probably the bigger value in vacation period. So take some time for yourself, whatever that looks like. There's something that's holding you back and there's a fear there. And until you figure out what that fear is, you're probably going to be stuck in this little spot for forever in time, mm-hmm. which is terrible. So face it. What about you?
So with you being gone, you know, sometimes you have that little fear like, oh, what if something happens? And we have to, I think before you left, I said, okay, I'm going to ask for forgiveness and not permission.
Yeah. And I said, girl, get it.
Yeah. That's why I love her. We work so well together. But, you know, you have that moment of, okay, I can do this. You know, so I think what I would share, because I experienced it a little bit and I had some self-reflection about it in the last week or so, is look at the evidence of what you have already done.
Mm-hmm.
I can answer questions. Mm-hmm. I can help somebody. I can make a hard decision. I can, if push comes to shove, I'll do whatever. I don't know if it'll be right or wrong or otherwise.
Yeah.
But really looking at the evidence of what I've already accomplished. So I would say to an agent listening, if you're feeling that way, just pause, like you said, but really think about what you've already accomplished.
Yeah,
because you've already done so much. And the evidence, what do they call it? The proof is in the pudding,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah,
Pam, this was a good one.
Yeah.
I think they're all a good one. So we will see you next time on We'll Talk with Agents.